Okay, we're sitting at the top of Kuf Yud Amud Aluf. The Gemara left off with the issue of Yichus, how important Yichus is because of the fact that Moshe, who married Bat Yitro, ended up with a grandson like Yonatan, whereas Aaron, who married Bat Aminadav, or Achod Nachshon, ended up with a grandson like Pinchas. Now the Gemara makes a statement 2, 3, 4 lines down. Amar Rava, Hanosei Isha, Tzarich Shivtok Be'achia. That a person who marries a woman should check out her brothers first. Shinemar. Vayikach Aaron et Elisheva bat Aminadav, Achot Nafshon. So of course, Mimashma Shinemar bat Aminadav. If I know that she's the daughter of Aminadav, and Yodesh Achot Nafshoni, that's a derivative. The fact that if it's Nachshon ben Aminadav and Elisheva bat Aminadav, so they're brother and sister, why do you have to explicitly say Achot Nachshon? Mat Amadomar Achot Nachshon? What does that teach you? Mikan shenosei isha tzarich shivdok be'achia. Someone who wants to marry a woman should check out her brothers first to know what type of quality of an individual we're talking about. Why? So this is very vitano, rov banim. Right, be'achia. That's right. Right, even her brothers. Tana, so what's the reason? Rov banim domim lacheaim. When it comes to children, most of the children are like the brothers of the mother, meaning that your maternal uncle will give you some indication of what your children will be like. So if that is the case, then it's a good idea to be bodek isha be'achia, to look into a woman's brothers, because if the product of this marriage is going to be people that are similar to your uncles, then you better, I'm sorry, to your brother-in-laws, right, to their uncles, but to your brother-in-law, then it's kedai to look into the matter before you go down this path. So it says, Vayusuru Sham. So this is going back to Pesel Micha. Pesel Micha was established, the Micha establishes Pesel Micha, and then he brings in this young Levi to be his Kohen. And then later on, Dan, who has a problem where they live near here in Tzora Nishta'ol, sends out a search party to go find a better location for Shevet Dan, which ends up taking them up north, further up north. So this search party that goes out to scout out a new area for Dan, they happen to pass by the house of Micha on the way. When they get there, it says, Vayasuru Sham, Vayamru Lo. So they go there and they say to him meaning this Levi, that is now in the house of Micha, acting like a Kohen, Mi Aviyach Alom, who brought you here? Mato Sibazeh, what are you doing over here, Mother Chapo? Right, so they ask him these three questions. So Amru Lo, so what does that mean? Lav mi Moshe ka atit, right, don't you come, aren't you a descendant of Moshe? Dechtibe al tigrav alom, that it says by Moshe, right, don't come too close, meaning by the Sneh. When it's Admat Kodesh, it says Adikrav Halom. So he's saying to them, the question of Mihe Viacha Halom is a reference to, right, Halom of Moshe. What are you doing over here if you're a descendant of Moshe? Labi Moshe Ka'ati Tichtibe Mazibiyadecha. Again, when Moshe is conversing with Hashem by the Sneh, he says Mazibiyadecha. So also over here, the question of Matal Sebazeh. And Labi Moshe Ka'ati Tichtibe Ata Po Amodi Madi. So you, right, who are the last question, which is Malacha Po, references Moshe, which is Ata Po Amodi Madi, when Hashem says to Moshe, you will remain with me, while the others go back, the rest of the people go back to their tents, when they say, we'd like to hear, we had enough, we don't want to hear from Hashem anymore, we want to hear it through Moshe. So Taseh Kohen Lavodah Zarah, what are you doing? You're a descendant of Moshe, who has said about him all these items, you're going to be a Kohen for Avodah Zarah? So he says, I have a Mesorah. Says Amalam, Kach Mikublani mi Beit Avi Abba. This is what I have. I have a Mesorah from the house of my grandfather. The Olam Yaskir Adam Atzmol Avodah Zarah. Ve'al Yitztarich LeBriyot. Better for a person to hire himself out to Avodah Zarah and to not need help from others. And that one should be self-supportive, should be able to sustain themselves. And therefore, even if they have to hire themselves out to Avodah Zarah, that is better than relying on others or taking tzedakah from others. Now, the Rashbam qualifies and says, Yaskir atzmo el shlo yehei libo l'avodah zarah. Obviously, when he does this, he can't actually worship the Avodah Zarah. That's, of course, not permissible. So here, you have to feign, right, working for the Avodah Zarah, even though it doesn't look good, but to protect against relying on others, therefore we do such a thing. V'hu savar l'avodah zarah mamash. He thought literally to Avodah Zarah, that's what it meant. Velohi, Ella, The answer is avodah zara means avodah shezara lo. He misinterpreted what means avodah zara. He thought avodah zara means, you know, worship of idols. No, but it's rather avodah shehi zara, right? That the zara was qualifying the avodah, but not the noun phrase avodah zara. So now, what does it mean avodah shezara lo? Okay, the amar le Rav, the Rav Kahana, like Rav says to Rav Kahana, natush nevilta b'shuka. Right, he says, take a, either you should strip or skin an animal for its skins in the shuk in a public case, the shukal igra, and get paid for it. And don't say, I'm a big guy or I'm too big, it's beneath me to do such work. Right, that it will be, right, this is the type of work which is not acceptable for me. Now, especially here we're talking about a person like Rav Kahana, who is a Talmud Chacham, and we know we have in other places like the Gemara and Shabbos says that a Talmud Chacham is not allowed to walk out with a stain on his clothing. I mean, that we hold them to a much higher standard because it has to be a Kiddush Hashem. Nevertheless, that's what the Gemara is saying over here. The Gemara is saying over here, Aval liasot melacha lehitpanes ein kan gnai. To make a living is not a gnai. That doesn't matter what melacha you do, if that's what earns you the living, then that's acceptable and that's not a Chilul Hashem. That's a Kiddush Hashem that you're earning a living. So therefore, there is nothing beneath an individual in terms of earning a living. The standards that we hold the Talmud Chacham to will be in other areas, right? In other venues where they're going to demonstrate how they hold themselves to a higher standard. But when it comes to being mitparnes, there's no such thing as holding yourself to a higher standard. So that it's beneath me to do such work, but you do whatever it takes to support oneself and to be self-sufficient. So now, the other girsa here, there's another possibility of a girsa here, which is velo tema kahana ana. Right, so that the other girsa is not like lo tema gava rabba ana, but rather lo tema kahana rabba ana. Now the Rashbam brings that girsa down, and generally when the girsa of the Gemara does this, there are two possibilities of what it's doing. When you say lo tema kahana ana, you could say, don't say I am a kohen. Right? Or Lotema Kahanana is referring to the name of the Amora. Lotema Kahanana, I am Rav Kahana, I can't be that way. So that means to be Machlokes Rashbam in two places. And Rashbam in both places interprets it when the Gemara uses Lotema Kahanana, interprets it to be literally, don't think I'm a Kohen, I'm too big for this. Or in another place it says Asi. Asi, so Asi means to heal, but also Rav Asi. So over there he interprets it as to be a doctor. Don't say I'm a doctor. Yet Tosfos over here, and in the other place, says it's not the case, that they're talking about the Amora himself. But over here it says, Lo tema kahana ana means don't say I'm a Rav Kahana, I'm too big. And over there in the Gemara, in Psachim, he also says that means Asi means Rav Asi. Don't say I am, don't take a Shva in the name of Asi, meaning Rav Asi, referring to the Amora, not to the profession that would be indicated here. And one of his reasons is that Rabbeinu Tam says that Rav Kahana was not a Kohen. So then what was, right, the indication when Rav says to him, Lo te'amar Kahana, does it mean don't be a Kohen? Why is that relevant to Rav Kahana? He isn't a Kohen. It could suggest that in general it means that a Kohen who, right, holds himself as a Kadosh and holds himself to a higher level. Nevertheless, not in this case. So obviously the Rashbam doesn't favor that Girsa because of this. There's the possibility that it's the Amor himself. Alright. So David saw this characteristic in this Yonatan. Says, you know, this guy likes money. He's even willing to work for Avodah Zarah to make money. Therefore, what should I do? So I said that he put him on charge of the treasury. So this is a good guy to be my treasurer, right? Because he is someone who really gravitates to money, and he'll take care of the money issues. Shinemar, because it says in Divrei Hayamim, Ushvuel ben Gershom ben Moshe. We don't have Menashe. Others, and for some reason there is a girsa here of Menashe. In our Divrei Hayamim, it only says Moshe, which is Ushvuel ben Gershom ben Moshe, Nagid al Ha'otzrot. He was in charge, and he was the leader of the treasury. V'chishvuel Shemo. Shmuel is his name. Hello, Yonatan Shmuel. So why is his name Shmuel here if it's not Yonatan? Amar Rabbi Yochanan Sheshav Lakel B'chol Libo. He's returned to Hashem with his whole heart. I mean, that he did tshuva. That once David HaMelech, right, appointed him to be the head of the Otsar, head of the treasury, he realized he could be mitparnes by not being associated with the Avodah Zarah, and therefore he did tshuva, and that brought him back to Kodesh Baruch Hu. The problem is, and this is what the Rashbam points out, the Pasuk in Shoftim says, right, that the individual who went, this Yonatan or this Levit who went to be the Kohen to Micha, that they, when Dan, Shevet Dan came along the way, later on, Shevet Dan, when they pass by this house, after the scouting mission goes, they finally bring the, half the Shevet walks up this way. When they pass by the house, they tell the young man, why be a Kohen to a single individual? Why don't you be a Kohen to a whole Shevet? So they make off with Pesel Micha and this Levi. And there the Pasuk says that Hu Banav, he and his children were Kohanim, the Shevet Dan, right? Ad Yom Glototo, until the day they were put into Galut. Meaning that they remained for many, many years, his family remained the Kohanim for Pesel Micha. So the Rishbam claims over here that Yerushalmi has a continuation of the story, right? That's not found in the Bavli over here. Is that he actually returned to Avodah Zarah again? That when it came to the time to Shlomo Melech turned over all the heads of state or the individuals who were in power positions of power, and he once again was demoted. So when he went back later on, then he was demoted, he goes back to worshipping Avodah Zarah. He went back to working for Avodah Zarah. And the Rishbam quotes from the Yerushalmi that Aya Enu Tzarah b'Avodah Zarah. That he was miserly. When it came to the Avodah Zarah, he tried to spare people's money because he knew it wasn't real. So people used to bring up karbanot to the Avodah Zarah. You should say to them, what are you doing over here? Why are you bringing this animal here? Why are you bringing this bird? What's this? They don't need it. This pestle doesn't need this. He doesn't need this type of stuff. Go back home, bring back some eggs and some flour, and that'll be it. And then he used to eat it. So that's how he is mitparnes, right? Then he said, you know what? I'll take care of it. I'll dive into the Avodah Zarah for you if you just, you know, give me this and we'll take care of the whole situation. Well, he doesn't say, they think that they're presenting it to him that he will beseech on their behalf towards the Avodah Zarah. What he did, we don't know. But in the end, the indications. We know from Rabbi Akiva that that's still a chait, because by the neder, by the woman who does the chait, even after there was mufar, ayyadeh, her baal or her father, nevertheless, she's still called a. Right, choteh, even though she didn't do any chet, because she thought she was doing a chet. So the same thing here. If these individuals go up and present the items thinking that they're worshipping Avodah Zarah, it's still a chet that they are presenting in that matter. In the end, anyway, the Rishbam says that this story is a long saga. He had a Rikhuz Yamim. His Rikhuz Yamim was because of this fact that he prevented people from giving lots of stuff to Avodah Zarah and wasting their money on Avodah Zarah. Right, so the... Then, in the interim, or in the middle part of his life, he was part of Machus Beit David. He was the treasurer for David, and there he was Shav, the Kel B'Cholibo. And in the end, after he was demoted from that position, then later on he returns to doing what he did before, as being a Kohen to Avodah Zarah. Rabbanim et Av. So now we're back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that the sons inherit the father. Minola, how do you know the sons inherit the father? Dichtiv, because the Pasuk says, Ish ki yamut. Right, it says when a person passes away, and he doesn't have a son. The indications or implications from that are that if he does have a son, then the son is first. Taima dein lo ben. That's because he doesn't have a child. Hayesh lo ben. If he does have a child, ben kodem. Then the son goes first. So Amar le Rav Papa Abaye. So Abaye says Abaye. Ema iika ben lirot ben. Ika bat tirot bat. If there's a daughter, then the daughter should inherit. Ika ben uvat. If there's a son and a daughter, lo highly wrote, but highly wrote. Neither of them should inherit. So I said, whoa, velaman, right? Mali wrote. Then who's going to inherit? If the son and the daughter are there and they're not going to inherit, what? Atu barkasha the matali wrote. Meaning what? The governor of the city or the policeman in the city, the shotera here, should go be inherit here? So, who's closer than the children? Of course the children should be first in line here. Why would you defer the children to put someone else in front of them? That makes no sense. So how could you say, okay, if there's only a son or sons, they get it. If they're only daughters or a daughter, they get it. Right? Whereas if there's a son and a daughter, neither of them get it. That doesn't make any sense. What's the answer? No, the rest says, no, achal kamino. This is what I meant to say. Ika ben uvat, lo haili rot kulei, velo la haili rot kulei. That each one shouldn't get everything. Meaning, eloki adadi li rotu, that they should be on equal footing. So the suggestion of Rav Papa right now is, that right, the Pasuk says, and we'll read you the Pasuk says again, ish ki amut uveinei no. Person dies, doesn't have a child, then vavartim nachatolu vito, then you will pass his nachalat to his bat. So now the question is, how do Ben and Bat interact over here? We know that Ben will get it. It says if he does have a Ben, the Ben will get it. If he doesn't have a Ben and he has a daughter, we know the daughter will get it. What happens if there's both a Ben and a Bat? That the pasuk in some sense doesn't address. So Rav Papa is suggesting over here, why don't you say Ben and Bat are on equal footing, children. Children equally, right, divide the property of their father. So there is no difference between a ben and a bat. And again, that would make a lot of sense, because we see until now, by Yibum, right, ben and bat hold the same position. They're both able to be poter, right, their mother from Yibum. So they do have a status that is somewhat equal over here, or equal footing in terms of providing a zchut to the mother and preventing Rav to bribe Yibum, so they should be on equal footing. So that's the suggestion of Rav Papa. Tosos brings down that a question here, whether this is only according to the one who says that the parsha is Shelo Kesidran, is only going to the one who says that the parsha is not written in order, or can you even explain this Gemara according to the one who says that the parsha is in order? The Reshba suggests in the Tosos that it's only according to the one who says it's out of order, based on, we'll see here, based on what the implications of what the argument is. We're going to see here that they don't mind moving around pieces of the psukim. The Ri suggests that it's even according to the one who says that it's in order over here because of the word Vavartem. The word Vavartem makes it is Mechadesh, that if you had written Unitatem, then in Orchanami, you could have said this. But once you add the word Vavartem, then already you can start moving things around, because Vartem includes or implies that you're moving Nachlat somewhere where it shouldn't be, or maybe that there's some sort of deferral of the Nachla. So that's just an argument of Tosos according to whom this is. Now, what is the answer that Abaye says to Rav Papa? So he says, Amalei Abaye, v'istichra, l'shmina n'hecha d'leit le'elachad bra, l'rtinu l'kulhu n'chzei. Why do I need a pasuk to tell me if there only is a child, like say here, one son, that he's the one who gets all the possessions? I mean that if you look at the pasuk says, ish ki amut, uvein ein lo, v'avarta menachto l'bito. Why do I need a pasuk to tell me uvein ein lo, that he doesn't have a son? Right, to indicate what? That if he does have a son, the son gets it. And according to you, Rav Papa, what does that mean that he has a son that he gets it? That when there's only a son, that son gets it. I need a pasuk to tell me that. Who else should get the Yerusha? If there's only a son there, what's the Havami to suggest otherwise? I mean, why do you need this at all? So he says, so Rav Papa says back to him, no. Maybe this is what it means. The bat nami bat Yerushahi. No, that comes along the Chiddush here is to teach you that a bat is also someone who inherits. Meaning that ish ki amut v'ein lo, that's not the Chiddush of the pasuk. The Chiddush of the pasuk is harvarta menachato l'bito, that a bat is able to be in line for Yerusha. Because we would think that a bat is not part of the Shoshelet HaYerusha. Why? Because we said that only males should inherit, only Zecharim should inherit, not Nekevot. Because the Kevot present the problem. First of all, we said that, for instance, Mishpachat Ta'im is not a Mishpacha. And also the problem of Havarat Nachala. So we would think that maybe a Bat shouldn't get a Nachala. So the Pasuk is here to teach us that the Bat is a Bat Yerusha. That's what it's here for. So he says, wait a minute. That we don't need. Right? Bat Yerusha. We know that. Mihahu mikol Bat Yoreshet Nachala. Nafka. We know that from any bat that's Yoreshet Nachala, that's in the end of Amidbar and Parshat Masei, over there when the Bnei Tzlafchad, again, the Bnei Shevet come to Moshe and complain that Bnei Tzlafchad, by taking the property, are going to be Marvir Nachala, mi Shevet to Shevet. So Moshe says, in Ochanami, they have to marry within their, right, Shevet. That was only for that generation, but they have to marry within their Shevet in order to prevent the Nachla from moving, and they married Bnei Dodeim, right? They married their cousins. So over there it says in the Pasuk, we call Bat Yoreshet Nachala. So there it says in the Pasuk that any daughter who is Yoreshet Nachala should, Libnei Shivta, has to marry within her Shevet. So you see that Banot are Yoreshot, that they do inherit. Suggests that, no, this is the source that a bat is Yoreshet, right? Lama yigara Hashem Avinu mitoch mishpachto. That here, that's back in Parshat Pinchas, where the Bnei Tzlafchad complain to Moshe that why should our father lose all nachla, because he only has daughters? Why should our father's name be lost here from toch mishpachto? We should get the inheritance. Kein lo ben. So why? They're suggesting that if he doesn't have a son, then hayesh lo ben, ben kodem. Right? That if you had a ben, if you had a son, the son would go first. Right? So now the
Benot Tzavchad and their approach to Moshe Rabbeinu indicate, because he doesn't have a son, therefore we are Yoreshet. So number one, we know that Bat is Yoreshet. And number two is, we know that had they knew for certain, they were smart enough to know that if there was a Ben, that they would be deferred, right? That they would not be included here. So Mar says, well, that's not necessarily a proof. Why? Because Dilma Benot Tzavchad hu dekamran. Hachi. So the statement over here is Ayidei Benot Tzavchad. They don't know the halacha. They're suggesting to Moshe the halacha should be this way, which is true. If there's a son, the son would inherit. If there's no son, we should be the first in line to inherit. We should inherit over here. So that's their presentation to Moshe. They're not making a presentation based on halacha. They're making a presentation based on their logic. They're making a logical argument. So what happens? Do you know what the next parsha is right after that? It's Parshat Yerusha. So the Torah comes along and says, you know, Benot Tzavchad are right that the daughters do get, but they're not right about this fact. They're not right that when there's a son, daughters don't get. That's not true. When there's a son and daughters, they both get, then they divide it evenly. Benot Tzavchad made a suggestion, but then afterwards the Torah comes and tells us what the real halacha is. The real halacha is that children are equal, that Ben and Bat are equal. So from Avacha B'Yaakov, we cannot learn it out. The first limud is the right limud, which is that we learn it out, Mikol Bat Yoreshet Nachala. From there we learn that daughters do inherit. Now once we know daughters do inherit, then you have to explain the pasuk here in the pasuk of Yerusha. What does it mean that Ish Chiyamut Uvenein Lo, Vavartim Nachatol Lebito? What's the purpose of that pasuk? If you simply say that a Ben should be Yoresh when he's by himself, and a Bat is Yoreshet by herself, we know that already. Ben is obvious, that's a given, and a Bat we know from the pasuk in Parsha Maaseh. So it must be it's coming to teach us something else. What's the something else that it's coming to teach us? That Ben Kodem Labat. That Ben comes before a Bat, and that means when there's both males and females, the males will inherit, the females will not inherit in that case. So that's the Kemishamin on Mi'ikara. That will be Abai's response to Rapapa. Now the Gemara is going to test a number of other possible solutions to show that the Ben would come first, and the Gemara is going to reject them. Ravina Mar Mihalcha. We can learn it out from here. It says, HaKorov Eilav. Right, at the end of the Parsha of, right, Yerusha, it says, Unatata Menachto L'Sheiro HaKorov Eilav Mimishpachto. So HaKorov Eilav says, HaKorov Karov Kodem. Whoever's closer goes first. Umay Kurva De Ben Mibat. So what is the fact? How do you know that the son is closer relationship to the father than the daughter? So what are you going to suggest here? That the zchuyot of the ben, or the ability of the son to step into his father's shoes, are much greater than the daughter's. Why? Because a son, number one, takes his father's place by yehud. A son takes his father's place by stei achuzah. And also by Eved Ivri is also the other place where he takes his father's positions. The Bat does not step into her father's shoes in those cases. So first of all, I says, wait a minute. Okay, yeah, right. Yada. Vidai bat yada, bat la bat yadai. There's nothing to talk about. How can we say that the Ben has a schut that the daughter doesn't have? The daughter doesn't marry a woman. So of course there's no issue to talk about over here. That's not a proof that the Ben has a higher schut. It's just that's a functional process problem, which is that you can't have the daughter marry the woman that is taken as an Ama Ivriya. Enoch Nami. If she couldn't marry her, it would be, she would have that tzchus. Now, stei achuzah nami. Right, that's the way stei achuzah is also, mehai pircha gufahu, ta'akaimele. Right, the Tana. How does the Tana know that stei achuzah goes to Ben? So this, I'll read it the way the Rashbam reads it is, how do you know the Tana who says that the son is the one who's not considered an acher by stei achuzah? So how do you know that's the son? Why don't we say it's the brother? The brother, right, also has rights to this property because if he performs Yibum, he would get the property. The son is a Yoresh, so he is the first in line for Yerusha, so he's also entitled to the property of some Zchuyot here. So the Gemara wants to know, how do you know by Stei Achuzah that a Ben is before the brother? So the answer is what we saw before. Klum Yesh Yibum Ela Malkum Sheim Ben. Right, there is no Yibum when there is a child. So I mean, again, we said this before, the child is the pivot or the linchpin in whether there is Yibum or not. So therefore the Ben should have precedence over the brother. Now, if you say that's the logic which entitles an individual to say Stei Achuzah goes to this son and not to the brother, then if you apply that logic, then the Bat should be first too. Because if you say the reason that the Ben has Kdimut is because he prevents Yibum, a Bat has that same standing. A Bat also prevents Yibum. So if a Bat also prevents Yibum, then the Bat has that same standing when it comes to Stei Achuzah, and she should not be classified as
acher. She should not be classified as an outsider there. She should also be the closest relative. If she's the closest relative, then by stei achuza, if she redeems it, it does go back to the father and does not go to the kohanim. Whereas acher, if anybody else redeems it, then it would, or buys it out of hekdesh, then it would go to the kohanim b'shata yovel. So from this, the Gemara concludes is, that's not a good answer. You wanted to say, akarov, akarov, kodem, that it's a logical argument that the first party to inherit here is the one who has the best zechuyot. Who is the one who has the best zechuyot? The son. He's the closest relative to the father, even before the bat. Why? Because he has zechuyot that are greater than the daughter. What is that? That's Yehud, right? Zdei Achuza. So if you look at Yehud and Zdei Achuza, the Gemara says that's not true. Yehud is just a practical issue. That's why he has rights and the daughter has rights. And Zdei Achuza, you're wrong. The daughter has equal rights to the son when it comes to Zdei Achuza. Now, in the end, the Gemara in Erechin says that a ben is the one who can redeem the Zdei Achuza, and a bat does not. So how do you do that? From this Gemara, it sounds like they have equal footing. The answer in the end is, once you know in Nachala that a ben and a bat are different, then we apply that to Zdei Achuza and say that ben has kedimut to the bat, and therefore a bat is an acher to the ben. Once you know that information. But it's only once you know that information. You need that information. Where's that information from? The limud we had above. You can't make it from this limud. That's part of the underlying logic in this limud. So that won't work here. You have to wait till you know about Nachla. Where do you know about Nachla from? That is Kimishanina and Meikara. Right? That's what Gemara says again. Ella Mechavarta Kishanina Meikara. It must be like we said above, which is again that we learn out Bat Yoreshit from Parshat Maaseh, and we learn out Ben Yoresh from logic. And therefore, our pasuk here in Pinchas is teaching you ben before bat. Once you know ben is before bat, we will also apply that to stei achuza. Right now, here's the last try of the Gemara about the possibility of why the ben should take kedimut to the bat.
This Gemara not talking about the limit that we keep coming back to. There must be something official with it if the Gemara keeps trying to find another limit.
One of them. I'm not sure that the Gemara is searching for something. I think these are suggestions of Amoraim, and now the Gemara is showing why these have flaws in them. The logic that they're bringing in flaws. I'm not sure that this is sequential, that the Gemara is going after trying to find other ways to solve the problem. I think the Gemara now is bringing in what other people suggested as solutions and showing why they're not the good solutions. I think you'd have to read it that way, not as a sequential argument, logical argument. Right. So now, vi baitema meochel. Some people say it's from here. Vi nachaltem otam livnechem achareichem. So over here, that's a parshat of Eved Kenani. By Eved Kenani, it says that you will be morish, right? You will bequeath the Eved Kenani to your sons and not to your daughters. I mean that Eved Kenani is like karka; it's passed down from generation to generation. Over there, the drasha on the pasuk is bnechem velo bnei techem. Your sons and not your daughters. So you see that who is a Yoresh? Yoresh is the son and not the daughter. Therefore, an Eved Kenani is only passed to a son and not to a daughter. So you here see from here again that Banim have Kdimut to Banot. Because the Pasuk specifically says that Eved Kenani only passes to a son and not to a daughter. So when it says, Elamiato, if you think that's a good diuk, Lama nirbu yimechem yimei v'nechem, what are you going to do about that? The Pasuk we say from Vayayim Shemo every day, we say in Kriyat Shema, says, oh, you should do the mitzvah mezuzah. Why? Because they should have a long life. So also over there, you're going to be medayek. That means banim and not banot. Why does it make? That doesn't make any sense. So Gemara says, no. Bracha shiny. Over there, bracha is different. Meaning that when it comes to bracha, there's no. It doesn't make sense to exclude the daughter. Now the Rashbam suggests over here. It's an interesting line in the Rashbam. I'll read you the Rashbam. Yeah, it is a good answer. The Svarahi, he says it's logical. The ben banim, ben banot, kai, it goes on both, all children are included in the pasuk of Laman Yerbuim Mechem Bimei Menechem. Dein bracha lechatzayin. There's no such thing as a half bracha. You need a full bracha. Aval Gabri Yerushaim, ita de banot yoshot, vimkom ben, ayala el mechtab zarachem. The Torah should go out of its way to write zarachem and not b'nechem if it wanted to teach you something about Yerusha. So now, what comes out from this is that the Torah is written in the male form, right? So it's always difficult to know when you have to be medayek bnei Yisrael for both benot Yisrael, and when are you not medayek. So here the Gemara seems to lay out some logic, which is that when it comes to a halachic issue or halachic implications, then you are medayek, but you medayek the fact that it's bnei Yisrael and not benot Yisrael, or it's bneichem velo benotichem. When it comes to information or brachot, or it comes to right items that are outside of that framework of halachic implications, then benot will be included just because it's framed in the male form in the Torah, not because it's coming to exclude banot. And that's what happens over here. The bracha is equally applicable to the sons and the daughters, right? Because bracha is shiny. Now, it's a difficult question, because if you narrate or you have a whole Torah written in the male form, when is it exacting when it's in the male form, and when is it just, that's the shigra, that's the way that it's written. I mean, that's the style in which it's written. So that's a difficult. But here the Gemara gives you some sort of outline. Now, the Rashbam is not willing to. Here, the Rashbam says that the reason is because ain bracha l'chatzayin. You don't have a bracha, half a bracha. You could have just simply argued, like I just suggested before, which is that because it's narrated or the Torah is given in the male form, that it doesn't necessarily mean male when there's no halachic implication. And therefore over here, it also means bracha. Now the Gemara in Kiddushin uses this. The Gemara in Kiddushin wants to say that women should be patur mimiyah mitzvah mezuzah. And that women should be part of the mitzvah mezuzah. The Gemara says, wait a minute. Why should women be part of the mitzvah mezuzah? Because, right after what it says, Laman yibu mechem yimei nechem. Valo nashim ba'yichaye. Women need a long life too. But they don't need that bracha, just like over here. So therefore the Gemara says that you can't say that's a ptura mezuzah by women because they need the same bracha over here. So you see them use it in a similar manner in the Gemara Kedushin, and the Gemara Brachot says the same thing. It depends on the girsa. It's machlokas Rashi and Tosfos the girsa in the Gemara and Brachot. Gemara Brachot, that's about tefillah. Right. What about tefillah? Why aren't women patur? Should be patur mitzvah? It's a mitzvah sasei zman grama. So the Gemara answers up, right? That by women, two possible answers. Rashi says that the answer that tefillah is their abanon. So that's one answer. The Gius and Tosus is that, right? Tefillah is by halo anashim by rachme. That they need to have, they also need to ask for Hashem. They also need to speak to Hashem. They need help from Hashem. So why shouldn't they be included in the mitzvah? So you see that where we're talking about brachor or rachme or mitzvot, which have something associated with them, which it should be equally applicable to women. Over there, we don't say that the male form comes to exclude the women. Whereas when it has halachic implications that don't have right issues that affect the woman, meaning that it will lose out on a bracha, that she doesn't have to beseech a kodesh bracha. In those cases, we will say that the male form does exclude. So over here again, that the fact that it says b'neichem lo b'neichem will be a good limud. Again, that limud will teach us ben before bat. And again, and once you have that limud of ben before bat, then you go back to the parashat Teyusha, which says ish kiamut uvenei no vartemei nachatol debito. Then it's obvious that the only reason you could write a parasha like this and have to separate ben and bat is to teach you that ben comes before bat. Otherwise, you could have just written zarachem. If you had written zarachem, we would have known ben and bat are equal and are on equal footing. So that's the only reason to separate them out is to tell you that there is ktimut of the ben to the bat. All right, we'll just finish up this little piece over here, and then we'll stop. When it comes to brothers through the father, right, they are relatives. How do you know that brothers through the father are relatives? We know one. We learn it now from Bnei Yaakov. Bnei Yaakov, it says there that they were achim. It says that we are all brothers, the son of one father. What? That's extraneous. Of course, if they're achim, right, then they're bnei ish echad. So why do they come to teach you bnei ish echad? They come to teach you that you're only called achim when you're bnei ish echad. So only when you're from one father you called brothers. And then we have a gzer shava, achva achva, that achim only apply to achim min ha'av. Malala min ha'av, lo min ha'im, afkan min ha'av, lo min ha'im. What do I need that pasuk for at all? We already learned that from inside the parsha of Yerusha itself. Why? Because it says mem mishpachto v'yirashota. So when it says mishpachto, before we said k'tiv mishpachat av kriya mishpacha mishvadeim ena kriya mishpacha. We already determined that the term mishpacha is defined in the Torah to mean only through the father, not through the mother, because it says the mishpachotam levet avutam. That mishpacha is only relevant when it comes through the father's side. So in parsha Yerusha, if it says mishpachto, we know it's already from the father. So when it says enochanami, you're right. That's how we know that a father is only relevant, or the family of the father is only thing relevant by Yerusha. So what are you going to do with the limud that they just brought down from Bnei Yaakov? That has to do with Yibum. How do you know? How do you know the parsha of Yibum begins? How do you know which brothers we're talking about that perform Yibum? There we say that it's only Achim min ha'av. How do you know that? There the term Mishpacha is not used. So the only term achim is used over there. So there is where we need the Gzer Shavet of Bnei Yaakov to teach you achim by Yibum. It's the same as achim by Bnei Yaakov. Just like by Bnei Yaakov, it's through the father that makes them achim. So too by Yibum, the only one who performs Yibum is an ach min ha'av. When it comes to Parsha of the Yerusha, how do we know that the achim min ha'av are the ones that are relevant by Yerusha? That's because the Parsha says, mim mishpachto. And the word mishpacha means, mishpachotam, levetotam, always means from the father's side. Okay, we'll stop over here.